And welcome back to Beneath the Surface. Welcome back to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP 980 AM on your dial.
Well, I got a question for you.
And there is Tom Duggan, who has a question for me, as well as Tennis Lilly, my other guest tonight. And we are talking about the topic of global warming. And before I throw my question at Tennis, Tom, what is your question for me?
My question is, Paul, are we not part of the environment? I think people who are on the other side of this argument sometimes forget that we are part of the earth. We are part of the environment.
We are earth people, yes.
And that the earth really is, and again, this is just my personal belief, the earth is a self-sustaining mechanism. Organism.
Yeah.
It's a self-sustaining organism that spewed out plants and animals and humans, and that there's nothing that we do on this earth that hasn't come from this earth. I mean, with the exception of a few moon rocks that were brought back by a couple of astronauts.
Right. We're not bringing anything extraneous to this world.
There's nothing on this earth that we're putting into the atmosphere or the ground that didn't already exist here, that the earth didn't create itself.
Yeah, but aren't there some things that are deeply in the ground that shouldn't be in the atmosphere and vice versa?
Well, I mean, we have volcanoes that spew the core of the planet up into the earth, up into the atmosphere, up into the sky, and sometimes even out into space sometimes.
It does some damage, though, once in a while.
But yet we're still here, though. After what Tennis calls 4.5 billion years of history, we're still here. The earth is still here. Rabbits and bunnies are still here. Puppies are still here. Wolves are still here. Trees are still here. So when you just think about the common sense of it, like, well, we could have an academic discussion in a classroom. And by the end of our academic discussion, we can find a way to believe we never went to the moon. We can find a way to believe that Sasquatch exists. We can find a way to believe that the Loch Ness Monster is real, because there's evidence of it. But there's no proof. And it's only in an academic way. It's when these academics start going out into the...
Okay, so your common sense says what, Tom? Your common sense would say about this issue?
What? I just said it.
That it's not all that alarming, not a big problem.
Well, if the Earth is a self-sustaining organism, I refer back to George Carlin, no conservative, right? Mm. Who said, you know what, all this global warming stuff, what are we worried about? The Earth is going to be just fine. The Earth was fine before we got here. The Earth is going to be fine long after we're gone.
But that's the problem, though. It might bring us to a quicker demise, as Tennis is alluding to.
I think that all of the time and effort and money and resources, the billions of dollars and the strangling of industry, all of these things could be much better put to use by stopping real threats, like companies that are dumping sludge into our rivers, like countries that are our friends that are dumping nuclear waste into mountains.
Or acid rain and stuff like that.
Well, by the way, whatever happened to acid rain?
By the way, thanks for bringing that up.
We were told by all these same scientists 20 years ago, acid rain was going to destroy the planet, right? All the statues in Washington were going to be melting away in front of our eyes, and none of that really came true, did it?
So then all of this brings me to this question, Tennis, and so far it's been vague, and I, you know me, I like clarity. I'm a huge fan of clarity. You're convinced that it's happening, global warming is happening, and that man is the cause. All right. But when I say, what are the consequences that you're alarmed about, you mention vaguely that it seems like there's going to be more deserting in the world and more vegetation in the world at different places in the world, but we're not really sure and we don't really know what the results are going to be. So how are you going to convince people out there that everything that Tom is saying that industries are going to do to reshape the economy ought to be done?
Well, let's take sort of a half a step back here.
As long as you answer my question,
sure. I'm going to.
He's going to go all the way around the world before he does, but I'm looking forward to it.
I have to continue to stress the fact that human civilization has been established and has prospered in a very stable climate. Okay, we're talking about the last 12,000 years. During the quarter of a million years or so that human beings have been on this planet, we've had relatively stable climate. We've had a few burps here and there, but it's been relatively stable. What we're talking about doing is raising the temperature to a point that it hasn't been while human beings have been on this planet. And that's something that we're creeping up on, not just air temperature, but the temperature of the deep ocean. If you want to talk about the potential impacts of this, Okay, desertification is a huge problem. I mean, you kind of tossed it off as, well, you know, might have some plants over here and deserts over here.
Desertification has been a huge problem in human history for a lot of centuries.
We're talking about something that is much larger and certainly going to be much more
but
persistent.
But at the same time, there's going to be greater vegetation.
Well, the greater vegetation is going to contribute to it because that vegetation is, you might have an immediate spurt of vegetation growth, but that's pulling more moisture out of the soil that isn't going to get replaced because rainfall patterns are going to change. You're also talking about melt-off of glaciers and ice caps that lock up a lot of the fresh water. Most of the water on this planet is not potable. It's not fresh water. The fresh water is locked up in the ice. Well, what happens when you melt that off is you're melting our store of fresh water. People who live in more mountainous climates rely on this. Okay, you're also talking about increased severity of storms. And if you have this massive melt-off of ice sheets, look at what's happening in Greenland. The rate of ice loss has been increasing dramatically. You're putting more water into the oceans, raising the sea levels have gone up. They're going to continue to go up.
Okay, and so people that live on coasts in some countries will have a problem with that.
People who live on coasts here will have some problem
with
that. The projections over the next 100 to 200 years are pretty dramatic.
But
you're talking about...
Can I just change the mental image that I think tennis is falsely giving to our listeners? The temperatures will rise slowly, if they rise at all. But let's just say that they do. The temperatures will rise slowly. It's not like suddenly there's going to be this big tidal wave that's going to come over New York City and
no one's saying that.
Well, Al Gore certainly did. I saw his movie. All right? And a lot of the global warming alarmists, they're not doing their own cause any good if their own cause has any merit to it because of the overblowing for political purposes to make money for the global greenhouse industry and all this other stuff that's going on. I believe there probably is, as I said at the outset of the show, some kind of warming or cooling or climate change going on because of mankind. I just don't think that it's going to rise to the level of cataclysmic catastrophes.
Well, no one's saying the Earth's going to end.
Well, nobody's saying the Earth's going to end, but those of you on the global warming alarmist side, the Chicken Littles of the world, are running around saying, if we don't change our light bulbs, mankind's going to come to an end.
No one's saying that.
Well, I thought you said it
earlier.
Again,
I saw those books.
That's the danger that you
really
worry
is.
About.
Well, the danger is that we're going to go from a climate that is fairly hospitable to the existence of people to one that's pretty harsh and not conducive to human well-being.
But it's going to happen slowly over a period of time. If it's going to
happen,
what
is that statement based on?
Well,
you know, you've tossed a lot of statements out here.
Here's what it's based on. Your statement. Here's what you said because I wrote it down.
Right.
You said that the Earth has warmed, according to all of the global climate change alarmists that you believe in, that the Earth.
You
has
mean the
warmed
scientists who've done the research
at a rapid quote rapid and unprecedented
right.
rate
right.
of 2 to 4 degrees over 100 years.
Right. That's
okay.
rapid.
So let's say that happens.
That's rapid.
Let's say in the next 100 years it warms another 2 to 4 degrees.
That's
it's
a lot.
It's not going to happen overnight.
No, but that's Tom. You're talking about already we've seen agricultural growing zones shift northward.
Okay, so they don't disappear,
no,
right?
Well, they could eventually in many parts of this country. You're seeing the oceans warm, the warming in the ocean right now, the amount of heat transfer into the ocean, even the deep ocean, is unprecedented. You're talking about situations where you could alter the ocean currents because ocean currents are driven in part by temperature and density. That's changing. We're changing this. We're pushing a system that
Tom is saying it's slow, though. It's very
it's
gradual.
It's not slow.
And
no,
not
it's
slow.
It's not slow. There's
according
no point.
According to you, it's 2 to 4 degrees
it's
in
It's not according
years.
To me. That's fast, Tom. We're talking about
right,
we're talking about climate you, means. We're not talking about annual temperature.
He's had an awful lot of time.
Okay. Let me remind people, you're listening to WCAP Radio 980, and our telephone number is 978-454-4980 if you want to get involved in this convo. 978-454-4980.
The difference between a cold climate and a warm climate is just a few degrees, Tom.
Okay, but you said 2 to 4 degrees in 100 years.
That's
now,
a lot.
Now, maybe to you that's a lot in some abstract timeline.
It's not.
But to those of us living in the real world today, if I go outdoors and the temperature is 78, and then I come back in and I go out a little while later and it's 80, that's not a big difference. And you know what happens to man? You know what has happened historically over the last couple of billion years to man? Man adapts, doesn't he? We've had people, according to you, if you believe in
evolution.
Evolution, thank you. Man came out of Africa, out of the desert, where it was 100 degrees every day, sometimes 150 degrees every day.
It wasn't.
And you want to know what happened? Man adapted. And then man migrated up to Western Europe, up into Scandinavia, where they had never even seen snow before. But you know what they did, Dennis? They adapted. And so if this 2 to 4 degree shift happens, and let's just give to you that it happens, and that it's because of us, and that it's because of the United States, and it's because we didn't change our light bulbs and all that other
stuff. Never said any of that, but go ahead.
But let's say all of that's true. Man will adapt. There is no cataclysmic global catastrophe that's going to happen. That is the scaremongering that really doesn't do the global warming position any good.
But Tennis is saying there is a good way to adapt to this, which is changing
our light bulbs.
And doing
It's much more.
But only in this country.
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay. Well, what I've heard so far, and you know, I'm very. As O'Reilly says, I'm a very simple man when it comes to this particular topic. It seems like you are saying, Tennis, that one of the consequences of this problem is that places like Greenland will, much of their ice will melt, and the ocean might rise a little bit, and the vapor will keep in more heat and so forth, the greenhouse effect. What I'm thinking is if it does this at 2 to 4 degrees per 100 years, can't people slowly sort of migrate a little bit and maybe begin to populate places like Siberia and other wonderfully vast areas that were too cold at one point and maybe get out of the coastal areas a little bit and move around?
No? How much do you think that costs?
It costs money. Let me ask you this. To move.
Moved last six months ago. We're not talking about you moving, okay? And by the way, no one's saying that we're not going to adapt. Human beings are going to adapt. And countries like the United States and Western Europe are better equipped technologically and economically to adapt. So we will adapt to this. But the cost of this adaptation is enormous. The cost of keeping cities in our coastal areas where they're going to be inundated is enormous. The cost of having to move population centers is enormous. How quickly can we reestablish croplands in areas where we don't normally grow crops? It's something you just do overnight. We're talking about change that normally occurs over a period of 10 or 20,000 years, you know, to be, and that's being generous. Change that occur over 10, 20, 30,000 years happening in 1 or 200. If that is incredibly fast. And if you look at some of the climate projections, okay, you look at where the hot areas are going to be even hotter. Yeah. There'll be parts of, you know, in these, you know, some of these are outliers, but you know, there have been some studies done where in some parts of the country it won't be safe for human beings to be outside unprotected. Okay. It will be too hot for people to live. There are only a couple of places in the world where you can say that. That's going to become more common. Let's just look at the fishing industry here in New England.
Can I just say one thing that relates to that? There's a whole lot of places in the world right now where you can't go outside because it's too cold. So what I'm saying is that's true.
Climate,
Pay no attention to that man behind the camera. Could climate
not shift a little bit?
Okay, not talking about a natural progression everybody's adapting to. We're talking about something.
We've done lots of man-made things with our technology.
Right, but none of the things that we're doing are this significant and this long-lasting.
And all I'm saying is you haven't made a powerful enough argument for the listeners to say, yes, we need to change our lifestyles, and so does the rest of the world.
And I think what we're neglecting in this whole conversation is what I started with, which is...
And I'm not against that. I want to hear that.
Which is, I mean, what the global warming fearmongers are saying is, A, that it's real, B, that it's a problem, C, it's our fault, and
it
D,
is our fault.
And D, the most outrageous claim that they make is that if all of A, B, and C are true, that it's our fault because of all the damage that we have done over the last 100 years,
mm-hmm.
that we can do something to A, stop it, and then on top of that, B, reverse it.
No, you can't reverse it.
At the same time that China and India and all these other countries
are polluting the earth even more.
Let me just finish my thought.
And here's why they need you to believe that. They need you.
There's some kind of a philosophical, ideological agenda. They need you to believe that it's real.
They need you to believe that it's a problem. They need you to believe that it's our fault. And they need you to believe that we can change it, because then...
Because?
Then we need some kind of global one-world police organization that can police the world and make sure everyone follows the same regulations and everyone has to follow the same environmental restrictions on private industry and business and private property tax and light bulbs and every other wacky left-wing idea to come out of Western Europe is going to be foisted upon the entire world.
I
mean, what's funny is that the left-wing moonbats, of which Tennis is not one because he's actually a socialist, but the left-wing moonbats, the former hippies who are still around among us, you know, they want a one-world government. And what's funny is they want their one-world government to police the world to change the environment, and that's what they say that they want. At the same time, they're accusing the right. The same time, they're accusing Republicans and conservatives of wanting some new world order, one-world government.
All right, Tennis.
Do you have any evidence for any of the stuff that just
tennis
came out?
Tennis, is anything that Tom just said well-founded in your mind?
No.
So there's no philosophical or ideological undercurrent to any of this.
Are there people who have those ideas? Yes, there are. Okay,
They're prominent. They're running the UN, and they're prominent. I hear it when I watch C-SPAN. I hear congressmen say it.
But do you, Tennis, think that those ideas are maybe good ideas?
Well, first of all,
gotcha.
I'm sincerely trying to understand both of you. First of all, we've been regulating human behavior for as long as we've had groups of people living together.
They're called laws, right?
Okay. You know, acid rain was put in a check by laws regulating nitrous oxide and sulfur dioxide emissions into the atmosphere. We helped to stop, this is ironic, the global cooling scare in the 1970s was driven in part by the fact there was a lot of particulate pollution in the upper atmosphere. And that particular pollution actually can have a cooling effect. Well, we did away with that because we enacted the Clean Air Act. So a lot of the problems that we've identified, you know, the ozone hole in chlorofluorocarbons, we did this by regulation. We did this by enacting laws. Okay, we've always been enacting laws to regulate, and these laws work. The trading of pollution,
some of the
pollution credit.
Yeah, first, we claimed that there was acid rain with no.
There was acid rain,
and then we predicted that within 20 years, statues in New York City.
If we did nothing, we might have
been melting.
Tennis's point is,
and then
we
said, "Oh, but we found the solution, and now it's not happening what we predicted."
Oh, shockingly, it fixed. It was fixed.
Let's face it. In the 60s and 70s, the big thing was we're polluting our air and our water, and we should do something about it. Right.
Right.
And
we did.
Were
so
done
all over the planet, every country all over the planet, China, India, Pakistan. They all got rid of these particulate pollutants that stopped acid rain. So
not everywhere.
I went.
No, it's more localized. I mean, back then,
acid
it was
rain
more
is much more
the
localized.
The United States was the we cared about the air we were breathing and the water we were drinking.
And Europe did, and a lot of Asian countries.
So we had the power to reverse that somewhat, right?
And we have.
If it was
and
ever
we,
real,
it was. See again, it's
easy to say you solved the problem that never existed.
You don't have as many
smokestacks polluting the air on a daily basis.
Sure,
right?
You do. You've got way more.
You have more.
You've got
today
way
in this
more
country.
In
really,
States.
There's more. There's more air pollution in this country
way
now.
More today.
In this country, we have more air.
I thought we were talking about global warming, not America warming.
Well,
no.
Are we talking about global warming or are we talking about America
me.
Warming?
I am trying to understand Tennis's point that we had pollution in the past, and we, as man, had the power to reverse some of that
and
make it better.
But China and Pakistan didn't do anything.
Is that your
to change
point,
their pollution.
That is my point. And look, there's so much CO2 in the atmosphere right now that we have enough warming in the pipeline to affect us for the next 100 to 150 years. And there's, you know, we're going to get another degree centigrade at least out of this. Okay, if you look at the different emission scenarios, if we can decarbonize and get back down below 350 parts per million, right now we're at 4. If we can get down below 350 parts per million, which will take a century, we can avoid the most catastrophic effects of global warming. The fact is that the United States leads. We lead. Period. If we don't do it, no one's going to do it. If we do it, we have the economic and industrial influence to drag the rest of the world.
Tell us what
if we don't, if
we can't
we
even
don't,
get them to stop killing Jews. You think we can stop them to do
that's,
this?
That is a
truth.
God, where did you come up with this stuff?
We can't get other countries to stop killing Jews and castrating gays. You think we're going to get them
sure
to
stop
putting pollution into the
environment? Sure, we can get them to stop. Sure, we can get them
Come
to stop.
On.
Well, human beings have done a lot of horrible things that we've stopped. We used to burn witches. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, four. There were four witches that were burned.
No.
Four.
Where?
Why don't you tour Salem?
I'm not talking about Salem.
Yeah.
I'm talking about human society. This is global,
yeah,
right?
It happened four times in American history.
Well, okay, I'm
like
not
to
talking
know
about American history.
And like global warming, it was blown out of proportion.
No,
100
it wasn't.
Years we're still talking about witches being burned, even though it was four.
Okay.
Just like the people who are being supposedly tortured in Gitmo. Three. Three yeah. people were waterboarded in Gitmo, yet all
Tom.
Over the planet, people are talking about
all
people
right.
being
come,
waterboarded
come back,
in Gitmo.
Come back to Earth, please.
All right,
come
no,
back
no,
to this conversation.
Now, whether that be true or not, Tennis, you said that... What was the last thing you just said?
Okay, the point I'm trying to make is...
We can force other countries.
We can absolutely... We can... Okay. This is a real problem, by the way.
Lead in what way? Give me concrete.
Okay.
What?
What we have to do...
Yes.
...is...
I'm excited.
...decarbonize the economy.
All right, how?
We need to find non-carbon-intensive ways of producing electricity. No one's talking about not driving cars...
Okay,
tell us
what we are talking
about. ...not having electricity.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to...
Wait. How can we go past those two?
Right, yeah, he wants to keep going.
I want to know how we do these
things.
No one's
talking about not having electricity or not driving cars. No one's talking about any of that stuff.
So it's carbon that's the problem.
Carbon's the problem.
So the United States should
lead... That doesn't make it good.
...by, in your opinion, by doing what?
Okay, what the United States needs to do is to take immediate steps... to shift away from carbon-intensive energy production.
Okay.
It means putting an end to coal as a source of energy.
An end to coal, thank you.
An end to coal. All right, which, you know, look, coal...
An end to gas and oil?
Eventually, yes.
Okay.
Eventually, yeah.
And by the way, I don't dispute that those would be good things. I mean, a lot of the things that the global warming alarmists and Tennis, because I'm gonna separate them out, a lot of the things that they're saying that we need to do to save the planet... I don't believe you're going to save the planet, but I think that they're good things. I think we should.
It's about saving
and there
us.
There are other reasons too, like national security
right,
when it comes
sure.
to oil.
And you know, you look at around the world, there are things that we can do to friendly countries and with friendly countries to get them to maybe to stop polluting the earth more, because whether there's global warming or not, that's just good for everybody. But let's not couch forcing people in a free society and then going around the world and forcing everybody else in other countries to do what we think they should be doing. I thought liberals were against those things. We weren't supposed to free people at the point of a gun. Who are we to tell them that
our society and our culture
is any better than theirs?
You're going way off on a tangent. Look, China is going to do what's in China's best interest. The Chinese government knows global warming is real. You know, coal is the fuel of choice because it's what they have. China's also building the largest photovoltaic power plants on the planet. China is solar energy, solar electricity. China is the leading producer of solar panels.
Awesome.
Okay? They're investing in technology.
Working?
It's working great for them. Okay? In Europe, they're putting solar panels on every rooftop.
Right. And
Germany,
how's it working out?
It's working great.
Really?
Germany can generate 50% of its electricity needs through solar energy. And Germany is an economy that it is the strongest economy in Europe.
Oh, this is great.
They have the lowest rate of unemployment.
So then you would suggest that we do this too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We can do a lot of things. Phase out coal.
And I'm sorry for interrupting again, but what about the chemicals that are used to make these solar panels? What does that do to the environment once the solar panel doesn't work anymore?
Okay, there are, the same thing that happens to anything else that's manufactured when it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
You can say that about a television or my Nook or anything else.
I produce a newspaper.
You dispose of it properly.
With all due respect, I produce a newspaper, right? I publish the Valley Patriot.
Yes, you do.
Okay, now, when I was growing up, we were told that we should be recycling newspaper.
We should.
Because it's really good for the environment.
Yes, it is.
Trees, right?
Yes.
Except then I turn on, and I can't remember if it was Evening Magazine or Good Morning America, but I turn on one day, and they're doing a special about all the chemicals that are used to extract the print off of newspaper and how it's being dumped into the Rio Grande River, and it is polluting entire swaths.
So that's someone breaking the law, then.
Of areas in Mexico.
Those are people breaking the law.
But what I'm saying is, many, many things that we do in the name of good, many of the things that the government tells us we have to do in the name of good end up doing more harm than good. And those who at least even question it We get mocked. We get insulted. We get
that's not what this is about. That's not what this is about, and you know it's not what this is about. Look, there are trade-offs in everything that we do. Okay, things like industrial waste, these are engineering problems. These have solutions. These things can be managed. In Massachusetts, we have the Toxic Use Reduction Institute that has actually pioneered green chemistry. We've reduced our chemical footprint in this world tremendously. We can do all these things without causing more harm to the environment. The potential harm to human well-being by global warming vastly outstrips any of the potential engineering problems we face by switching to a low-carbon economy. Do away with coal.
Yes. Continue.
Phase out oil as rapidly as we can.
Okay.
Natural gas is a bridge fuel, but we have to strictly regulate fracking because fracking does have dangers that come with it. And nuclear power.
Get rid of it or keep it?
Keep it.
Oh,
we,
keep it.
What we have to
wow.
do, and look.
That's the first thing we agree on.
Look, I'm going to say this right now. A lot of my friends do not agree with me on this.
Okay.
The environmental movement, and I am an environmentalist, the environmental yep. movement was absolutely correct in the 70s when they fought against nuclear power because the second and early third generation plants like Three Mile Island, like yep. Fukushima, yep. like Chernobyl, yep. they're not safe. Yep. And disposing of nuclear waste is a problem. But we now have fourth generation plants coming online, okay? Things like liquid sodium cooled pebble bed reactors that can take nuclear waste and use them as fuel.
Okay, so you're convinced they're safe?
The fourth-generation plants, right. You can't melt them down. People have tried.
All right,
this is the new technology, and this is the bridge to a low-carbon
okay.
economy.
Okay, so then I've heard two things, that we should increase solar panels, and we should increase nuclear power.
Natural gas is a bridge fuel.
And natural gas is a bridge fuel. Okay.
We also need to embrace every efficiency that we can find. And yes, that includes efficient light bulbs because that does make an impact. When you're talking about reducing an individual family's fuel, you know, electricity consumption, that's good for them and good for the environment. The less electricity we consume, the better off we are. That's why, you know, we have Energy Star rated appliances. And as technology allows, we should require that the most efficient technology available always be used. That's good. That's common sense.
We should require it or we should persuade people?
No.
Okay.
It has to be a requirement.
It has to be required.
The same,
we have to force people based on what we believe.
No, it's not. No,
and then when we're done forcing people here, we're going to go around the world because that's what he said. We're going to go around
yep,
the world and force
absolutely.
Everyone else.
Well, every now, country
but let me
can
ask you this now because you've had an awful lot of time. And this is the most quiet I've been in a 2-hour show ever.
Go ahead.
All right? How do you go around the world and force, once you've forced people in this country to change their light bulbs and to change their way of life and, quote, affect political and social change, then you have to go around the world. How do you do that without a global policing body? And by the way, who's going to make up that global policing body? And as a third question, who's going to stop that global policing body from getting out of control?
Where is the quote? Affect social and political change. Where's it? You keep saying, you keep quoting that.
Yes.
Where does that come from? Who said that?
You
keep throwing that around.
You know what? I used to know the answer to that question.
Uh-huh.
And had you asked me that 5 years ago when I started quoting it, I would have been able
okay,
to tell
instead
you.
Instead of quoting it like it's actually the mission of some group, why don't you find the actual quote?
Yeah.
Or at least stop quoting
I'll be happy to do that.
Well, okay, regardless of that, what's the point?
We already have international standards on things like fuel efficiency. The European Union has them. They're in place in Asia. Russia's adopting them. There are many South American countries are adopting them. If you want to do business with other countries, you have to adhere to certain standards. There are already international accords on this. It doesn't need a global policing body. This isn't about one world government, but it is about harmonizing the regulatory regimes in different countries to bring countries up to the standards that you have in the United States and Canada and Europe. And that's about modernizing economies and modernizing industry, and it's about the human race not crapping where we live. It's not treating the planet like it's a giant toilet. It's about lowering our footprint so that we continue.
The Earth is a giant toilet.
It's so we can continue to prosper. We're creeping up on 9 billion human beings, and the third world, the developing world, wants a middle-class life like we have. Well, guess what? If we keep making energy and products the way we do now, we're going to need two more planets. And the third world isn't going to sit around and wait for us to decide to let them have what we have. And in a planet that's warming, we're going to have rising sea levels, displaced people, the lessened ability to grow crops. The seas are going to be warmer, which means we're going to lose our cold water fisheries. In a world that's much harder to live in, where water is going to be scarce, the third world's going to take what it wants, and there aren't enough bullets to stop them from doing it. There's a practical, and the U.S. Department of Defense, by the way, agrees with me, Tom. So I'm sure they're a bunch of left-wing fear-mongers. Why don't you go look up that?
Are.
Why don't you go look
some
up
of
that?
Them are.
Okay. You know, we have a choice. We can either stop playing a giant experiment with the only planet we have, and the planet doesn't care about what happens to human beings. It's indifferent to our existence. I think that people have a hard time accepting that. We can either stop playing a giant experiment with the only planet we have and work together as the smart primates that we are, or we can keep doing business as usual and suffer the consequences. Is the human race going to die out? No, but a lot of people will. The United States will adapt, and parts of Europe will adapt, but there a lot of people in the rest of the world won't. And we rely on the rest of the world for natural resources and now manufacturing capacity.
I just want to know where the evidence, much less the proof, comes from that. Where is the proof of the evidence of that statement that millions of people or even thousands or even hundreds of people around the world are going to die because of global warming 100 years from now? I mean, there isn't even any science on that.
Well, no. Look, when you have a diminished ability to produce crops.
So you're saying it's common sense.
When you have this is all, if you look at the IPCC reports, okay, the last two, look at the Department of Defense report on the impacts of global warming.
Same Department of Defense that said that there was WMDs in Iraq.
You say there are WMDs in Iraq.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. This is the climate modeling that's going on. These are, and by the way, when we talk about the IPCC reports, we're not just talking about scientists who model climate. We're talking about people who are experts in economics.
It just seems as though you give a lot of credibility to certain groups of people or certain people when they agree with you. When those exact same people don't agree with you, they're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's not true.
I mean,
give me an example.
I just did. The United States Defense Department, the head of the United States Defense Department, said that there were WMDs in Iraq. You called them crazy. They're a bunch of idiots. They didn't know what they were talking about. Now you cite them in global warming. I mean, they're either idiots or they're not.
Well, wait. So I'm obliged now to not take anything the Department of Defense says seriously?
Well, what Tom is asking you is why are you taking this seriously? Where's your consistency in taking
my consistency is that I'm driven by evidence.
When someone agrees with the global warming alarmists, they rock.
No.
And when someone disagrees with them, they're labeled and stereotyped as climate deniers, the same way Holocaust deniers are, which I find very, very offensive.
I'm sure
as
you
a
find
converted
that offensive.
Jew. I do. As
I'm
a
sure
converted
you find
Jew,
that
I do.
Offensive.
I find it very
it's
exact, offensive.
It's a great analogy, and let me explain why. The people who are
Jews are going to end up in ovens if we don't change our light bulbs.
I want you to explain why, but just let me take 5 seconds to say that
sure.
This is WCAP Radio 980. You are listening to Beneath the
Surface.
Are
we on the air?
Yes,
you
we're on the air.
There's at least 40 people listening right now.
You're listening to Beneath the Surface. It's 20 minutes of 12, which means we have 20 minutes left in the show, which is highlighted on global warming and climate change. My guests are Tom Duggan and Tennis Lilly. And on opposite sides of this issue, the phone number, if you want to get in, you've got 20 minutes, 978-454-4980. That's 978-454-4980. All right, Tennis, you were about to make a point.
Let me respond to the Holocaust denial, Tom's feigned
it's not feigned at all.
I can tell you're outraged.
No, I'm not. I'm extremely offended when anybody tries to equate something as vague as global warming to the Holocaust.
Okay, it's not.
Especially
it's
given
not,
that there might be people listening to within the sound of our voice who experienced
okay,
the Holocaust.
Okay, then let me explain why it's a perfect analogy. Okay, because you had incontrovertible evidence that the Holocaust took place. Anybody who denies it is turning a blind eye to hard evidence, an overwhelming
mountain.
That something
actually did happen.
An overwhelming mountain of evidence.
That something actually did happen.
Right, right. Okay. An overwhelming
mountain. Did global warming actually happen?
It's happening now. It's been happening.
Okay, but there's no proof.
No, that's not true. I spent the first half explaining why there's proof. Okay. We're talking about ignoring evidence and coming up with crazy conspiracy theories to explain things away. And that is the same type of denial of the overwhelming mountain of evidence. And we're talking about thousands of studies going back 150 years, a mountain of research. The credible scientists who don't think global warming is real or a significant threat can be counted on both of my hands. And the number of peer-reviewed studies that they've gotten published is a couple of dozen at best. And when these people do publish their studies, the scientific community finds giant holes in it. It's about the denial of evidence. It's about letting ideology blind you to truth. It's exactly the same thing.
So
I hate to tell you, Tom, the potential impacts long-term of global warming are worse than the Holocaust.
You're saying that there's actually an ideological foundation in denying global warming.
Absolutely.
So, Tom,
so what's my ideology? Because I don't really have an ideology. I'm just a skeptic.
Does Tom have an ideology behind this?
And I'm not. This isn't a swipe at Tom personally. I've known Tom for 20 years. For lack of a better word, God help me, we're friends. People don't understand.
I consider tennis
are.
Like a brother. Actually, most people don't believe that when we say but I love tennis.
The problem
I just
Tom
think he's nuts.
The problem Tom has with this is that the likely solution to this could potentially be so. It grates on him, the idea that he has to change the
life,
but that he has to change, and we do have to change the way that we live. It doesn't have to be some dramatic, horrible thing. It's not like World War II when we have ration coupons and stuff. But we've got to change some things, okay?
And he just can't
accept that.
You can't accept that, Tom?
Well, I have no ideology, and this goes back to the labeling and stereotyping of people who don't agree with you.
Look, he
said Tom's crazy conspiracy theories. I wrote it down and put quotes around it. Hmm.
That is a crazy conspiracy
theory. Crazy. Well, hold on. Let me just work this out now live on the air. Crazy conspiracy theories. When Al Gore makes a movie that shows New York City being gobbled up by a tidal wave all in one shot.
It didn't show a tidal wave.
All in one shot.
You're confusing your films.
Then there was a film, right?
Yeah, it was a science fiction film called The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, come
that
on,
wasn't
please.
A documentary.
That's not what we're talking about.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
When you say crazy conspiracy theories, I remember Al Gore trying to change our entire economic system into carbon credits, which he just made up out of thin air, and people were going to pay other people. But this is what's being pushed.
It's cap and trade.
It was pushed by, you know, I tried very hard not to interrupt you.
Sorry. All right,
but you say crazy conspiracy theories, and I put on CNN. And I watch Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi push these exact things that I'm talking about. I didn't make it up. I didn't just wake up one night and go, oh, you know what I bet they're doing? I bet they're doing it this way. You listen to Barack Obama. You listen to Bill Clinton. You listen to Al Gore. You listen to all of the people who are prominent political people on the left. And the media on top of it. And it's not a crazy conspiracy theory because they're the ones saying it. They're the ones saying if we don't change our light bulb, the earth is going to be destroyed. They're the ones saying if you don't slow your car down, if we don't change emission standards, if we don't do this and we don't do that, we don't take away business. Sorry.
But think about it. Wouldn't that
I was trying to hold off a cough.
Wouldn't that be a political liability for them to say all these things, especially if they're running for office?
No, because people are stupid. People believe
Americans
anything. If you say it over
say,
and
yay,
over again.
We're going to sacrifice.
If you say it over and over again, people will believe anything. And then they do this for our own good, right? We have kids. My kids went to North Andover High School. One's now at college. They came home and they have all these things that the schools are teaching them about. Mm-hmm. All these things that we have to do to change
That's
our
right.
lifestyle, to stop global
good.
Warming that still
good.
Can't be proven. Still can't be proven.
Yeah.
Right? So tennis's position.
Yeah.
And I've listened to a lot of it. And some of it, you know, some of it does make sense. Even though there's no proof. But tennis's position is, let's go back to the very beginning, global warming / global climate change is real, number one. Number two, it's a big problem. Mm-hmm. Number three, it's our fault. I mean, that's probably the toughest of those three. But then number four, which is the toughest of all, that we can stop it and reverse it by changing our light bulbs, by having companies retrofit their smokestacks, while other, and I'm going to keep going back to China, India, Pakistan, are billowing dozens, if not hundreds of thousands more tons of pollution into the air than we're saving by retrofitting all these factories and wasting all of this money that, by the way, could be much better used securing our border, putting police on our streets, stopping municipalities from having mercury in their water treatment plants. There's a myriad of social problems that we have that are not being taken care of because all of this attention and energy and money is being siphoned off for something that may or may not be 2 to 4 degrees over the next 100 years.
Is that really why they're not being taken care of, Tom? Are you serious?
Yeah, I do.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Let me just address
Because you know
this.
What, Tennis? If we didn't have the global warming alarmism, when the Valley Patriot picked up the phone and called Massberg and called some of these other environmental organizations that say they care about the environment and said to them, listen, we've got a municipality in Lawrence billowing human sludge into the Shawshene River directly underneath the South Lawrence East School, one of them would have called us back. When we called Massburg and the rest of these environmental organizations and we said that there's mercury at the foot of Mount Vernon where the water treatment facility is, at least one of them would have given a damn. And when we called all of these organizations, including Governor Patrick's office, and said, hey, guess what? We've got leaking toxic chemicals and photos and videos of leaking toxic chemicals at Lawrence's water treatment plant just feet away from where the water is going out. At least one of the politicians or the so-called environmental people would have given a damn. But you know why they don't give a damn? Because there's no money in it. With global warming, they go out, they hold signs, then they get a government grant. And then they make millions of dollars studying global warming as to whether it's going to be 2 or 3 degrees over the next 100 years. And if they weren't focused on that, Lawrence wouldn't have the environmental disasters that we have had in the last 10 years. Lowell certainly has had a number of environmental disasters over the last 10 years. Haverhill has had more than one environmental disaster over the last 10 years, and somebody would have given a damn about it.
So you're claiming, Tom, that we're taking our eye off more important, more urgent problems.
And environmental problems. Terrorism and police. Just look at if all of the money being pumped into this global warming, greenhouse gases. Nikki Tsongas was in Lawrence a few weeks ago giving a $100,000 check to, I don't know if it was Groundwork Lawrence or one of these organizations for green jobs in Lawrence. How many Latinos in Lawrence you think are getting green jobs after they get trained by Lawrence?
Well, exactly. What is green jobs? Give me one example
Tennis, tennis, tell us what a green job is.
Because people like Hillary Clinton have been talking about them
green
for a long
job.
Time.
It depends on who's talking about green jobs. Yeah. It means something different to everybody. They can be jobs actually working on environmental issues like lead and asbestos abatement, which is actually. A job that needs to be done in Lawrence. Lawrence still has the worst housing stock in Massachusetts. Lead poisoning is still a problem in this city. It's gotten better, but it's still a problem.
Lead poisoning. See,
lead poisoning is because it's the age of housing stock, and people are doing. And
but
by the way,
what happens,
the city
though?
Of Lawrence is making a lot of progress on it, Tom. They've done a lot in the past 15 years. Okay, so it's a problem that's being addressed through government grants. Okay,
millions and hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted. On global warming, lead paint, all of these education programs, which we get no money back from and doesn't save the earth. But you know what that money, Paul, is not going to?
What?
That money's not going to clean up the Merrimack River in Lawrence.
Actually, a lot of money
It's not going to clean up the human sludge that Willie Lantigua and Michael Sullivan, when they were mayors, pumped into the Shawshene River underneath the South Lawrence East School. It's not going to clean up the mercury that was at the foot of Mount Vernon. That money is not, and that attention... And that media attention, by the way, which is, I think, the worst of all of this, none of the attention or money or resources are going to actually clean up our neighborhoods and clean up our rivers and clean up our streams, which we are consuming right now. Global warming might be a problem 100 years from now. I want to make sure, because I am an environmentalist, I believe in the environment, and I believe in cleaning the environment, but let's clean it now. Let's clean the things we can clean, not some abstract thing that might be going on 100 years from now.
And you're speaking like an environmentalist before the global warming...
absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, let me address. Problem. Let me respond.
And in fairness to tennis, before he finishes, in fairness to tennis, of everyone that we called, and again, you can Google all of this, of everyone that we called when all of those specific local environmental disasters happened, that the Valley Patriot as an environmental newspaper went out and investigated, there was one person of all the organizations that we called that gave a damn and tried to do something about it, and that was Tennis, so I give him credit for that.
All right, so Tennis, if you do care about local pollution,
and I do,
immediately infecting people, are we taking our eye off that ball to put it on this more theoretical ball?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, again, global warming's happening. It has been happening. We see the effects of it now. We've been seeing the effects of it. So it's something that's happening now. Let me address it. And this is actually a good conversation because the environmental movement has been having this conversation for about 10 or 15 years. How do all these other, and I've been an environmentalist and I go to environmental conferences and I've worked with people who are environmental justice advocates who have been fighting these fights for many years. You can go to places like the Toxic Action Center and learn about communities who are fighting these problems.
Yeah.
Okay. How all this local stuff fits in the overarching narrative of global climate change, global warming, that's something the environmental movement's been struggling with. Mankind's future is going to be an urban one. More human beings live in urban centers now than in rural centers. And urban communities are more sustainable. They have a smaller energy footprint. We're better off with more people living in cities. And that seems to be where the growth is. Urbanism is the future.
That's the
Our
movement.
Cities have to be sustainable. They have to be clean. Tom is right about talking about these problems, but I have to say on the flip side, We fixed the problem with the Shaheen outfall, which were a couple of different problems. It took a while to find them all. You know, we did get the
but other than you, where was the rest of the so-called environmental movement? Where was Massberg? Where was Deval
ask
Patrick?
Ask them.
Well, we did. They wouldn't return our phone calls. That's my point.
I don't speak for them, so I'm not gonna. I can't respond to that. You know, we are investing in green infrastructure. We're building parks. We're cleaning up. Lawrence has got a green communities grant. We're making Lawrence a cleaner and more livable city. There should be more money for these things.
But
I agree completely.
The focus been shifted?
It's not an either or.
I know,
it's
but
not
has
an
it been shifted?
Or. It's been shifted for some people. Okay, right. This is a big global narrative, okay? But the idea that environmental groups are getting money, millions on this, they're not doing the research. The research is being done by scientists who work for the government. They work for the National Science Foundation, National Academy of Sciences. They work for colleges and universities. One of the biggest centers of environmental research on global warming is at University of Massachusetts, and they've done some great work there. So, you know, the ones doing the actual research are scientists. The environmental community has, you know, it's a mixed bag on how they've responded to this. And again, Stephen Schneider was a huge critic of groups who oversold this. Okay, he was pretty harsh on Al Gore, though Al Gore's film was scientifically accurate. The National Academy of Sciences said so. Climatologists at NASA said so. Did he overhype the danger of catastrophic sea level rise? Well, if Greenland slides into the ocean, that's exactly what would happen. Is that likely? It's possible. Is it likely to happen? Probably not. But we could have really rapid ocean rise faster than we can adapt to in some places. So was Gore pushing it to try and, you know, wake people up?
And
yeah,
make money.
But he's this is America. Why wouldn't you invest in? And by the way, the carbon credits, the cap and trade system, that's how we dealt with a lot of other types of pollution. That's how we stopped acid rain. That's how we cleaned up our air and water. Companies still buy and sell pollution credits. Everybody said, oh my God, that's going to wreck the economy. It didn't. It got companies. It's a mechanism that requires companies to clean up their act. It's been done in Europe. It's being done in Asia.
I don't disagree with some of that.
It's
but can you get back to Paul's question, which is actually my question, which is, hasn't this global warming hysteria that's gone on in the last 20 years or maybe even 25 years in this country diverted a lot of attention and resources, political will, media attention, local attention among local governments, local organizations from the dumping of toxic waste, from the local pollution issues, the local company issues that are, we had two organizations, I think you were on the forefront of this as well, so let's give you credit. There were companies that were coming in and dumping, they were scooping up the snow when they were plowing,
yeah,
and they were dumping them into the river, caught. And that
yeah.
has all the salt and everything else in it. So,
I don't think it's
a problem
locally.
Is it all of this attention, all of this Barack Obama propaganda, this Al Gore propaganda, taking away from local solutions to real tangible things that we can see and feel and touch right now?
No, I think on the local level, you still have a lot of community activism around local issues. I think globally, it's become a focus. And, you know, you keep throwing Al Gore out. Al Gore's not driving this. Al Gore's
not anymore, but he was.
No, he really wasn't.
He was vice president of the United States.
Yeah, but Al Gore did not do the research. Al Gore did not develop the scientific consensus. The consensus emerged from the research. Okay, and you know these aren't either or propositions. They're really not. And by solving, and you want to talk about Al Gore. Al Gore's book, Our Choice, is actually really it's a great book that talks about the potential solution. The solution to a lot of human society's problems globally is also the solution to global warming. Okay? Empowering women, modernizing economies, decarbonizing.
Empowering men? Can we empower men too?
Men have the power.
Really?
We're talking about in a lot of the
Are you married, Mr. Lilly?
I am. In the developing world.
And you can say that with a straight
in
face?
In the developing world, women don't have economic empowerment. Okay?
I agree.
You know, we're talking about modernizing economies. We're talking about making people's lives better, and we can do this on a global scale. Everything that we need, all the tools we need are there. We need the will to do it. And a lot of energy has been spent fighting the denial machine funded by the extraction industry, using the tobacco industry's playbook to exaggerate
extraction
the uncertainty.
Industry?
The oil, coal,
oh.
The companies that make money off of energy. The current system makes a lot. You know, the oil industry is the wealthiest industry in the history
of the world. So it's okay for Al Gore to make money because it's a capitalist country, but the oil, coal industry, they're just evil capitalists making money.
Do you see the hypocrisy, folks?
Do you see it?
When they use that money to pervert the political process and to deceive
people.
Al Gore didn't do that.
And Fahrenheit 9/11 didn't do that. And Michael Moore didn't do that. Nancy Pelosi doesn't do that. And Barack Obama didn't do that.
What does Michael Moore have to do with global warming?
Because they're all promoting the same thing.
Focus. We're talking about global warming, promoting global warming catastrophes.
If we don't change our light bulbs,
we've got two more minutes left, and I'm a little surprised, Tom, you haven't mentioned this yet. There are many environmentalists today that are global that you would call global warming alarmists that are using it as a religion.
Yeah, you've mentioned that in the past. Well, I think socialism is in and of itself has become a religion. I mean, that's another whole show for another time.
Right.
But see, I don't care what someone's ideology is unless there's a collection of them that are then pushing some kind of a panacea solution like changing our light bulbs, which will do nothing for the environment. I guarantee you, 5 years after we have changed all of our light bulbs in the United States of America, and we all will have to do it because we're being forced,
yes,
even though it's supposed to be a free country, 10 years after that has happened, that one act will have zero effect on global warming, zero effect on the climate. Zero. Not even 0.00000001. It'll be zero.
Zero. All right. We have 1 minute left.
But somebody who's making light bulbs is going to make a lot of money on that.
Tennis Lilla, do you have a final comment on that or anything else?
I agree that there's an ideological or religious bent to this because we human beings think that we are special. We're the pinnacle of something. We're all put here for a reason, and this world was made for us.
Mm.
So we can't hurt this planet. The planet's supposed to have. The planet's supposed to have a certain temperature. We can't warm it. This planet's here for us. We're special. We live in a world that is really indifferent to the existence of human beings. And we're pushing, you know, the planet's still going to be here long after we're gone. We're pushing a climate system that we can't unpush. Okay? And it's a giant experiment with the environment that sustains us and everything else. Common sense dictates that we stop.
I would say a lot of what Tennis said today is true. Okay. A lot of what Tennis said today makes sense.
However,
I agree with the fact that we should be doing a lot of these things just because it's good for us.
However,
what I don't like is, and what I don't necessarily buy into, is that it is proven, that it is settled, and that if we don't do something about it, the Earth is going to have some kind of catastrophe.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours of debate on global warming. Tom Duggan, editor of the Valley Patriot newspaper.
It's snoring you here as our producer and
radio
the three people
station,
who listen.
For our radio show here on WCAP, and Tennis Lilly, environmentalist, as well as other things.
Comrade.
Both of you, thank you for going beneath the surface on this topic.
Thank you, Tom.
There was a handshake. Too bad that wasn't on television. My name is Paul Morano. You've been listening to Beneath the Surface. And if you have any comments, remember, BTS Radio 980 at AOL.com. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Same time, same channel on Beneath the Surface.